Bless the word this morning. Title of the word is Father's Day. And of course, we bless the fathers here. I'm so appreciative of my own father that I'm still able to be with. And I guess I can express more to him later. But my daughter has been so loving and kind. She's written me give me a couple cards, and then this morning, I love you, another card. And I appreciate so much her love for me. I don't know there's anything else that can take me out of the complexity of my mind and thinking about things so quickly and drop me down or bring me up to the reality of what's really important and my daughter's love. And that's the way it is with God. Our love and our appreciation of him is so important to him. This is truly a time that I would say is Father's Day. It's the Father's time. It's the time of his parousia on the earth, his presence. It's a time where his people are going to learn to appreciate him and express their love to him. I think that we just don't realize how important it is to God's own heart, our love for him. And anyone here that's a father, I mean, like I feel this morning, my daughter's love touches me so deeply. It's so meaningful to me. But that's the way it is with our father every day that we live. Okay, Nick, I just wanted you to hear that. This morning, as we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about Father's Day. The day of spirit, the day where God is honored by all his creation. Often when words come about the kingdom of God, the focus is on the acts of the kingdom, aren't they? The acts of the kingdom are wonderful, and we're going to see them in full display on planet Earth. The acts would be the healing, the deliverance, the changes that need to be made to this planet and people's lives. God redeeming this earth back to himself. The problem is, if that's all our focus, the acts tend to put us in a future tense. Because whenever we think about the acts of the kingdom, we're thinking about miracles, we're thinking about great things being done, and that stimulates a faith in our heart that we need to have alive at all times. But often people are moved into that future tense because they look around and say, well, those great things aren't happening in my life today, but I hope and believe they'll happen tomorrow. We need that faith and that hope constantly alive within us. The problem is we need more than that in our day-to-day relationship with the Lord. There's a difference between the acts of the kingdom, a difference between the acts of the kingdom and the ways of the kingdom. Both need to be coupled together. If all you do is focus on the acts, you're probably not going to have a very strong present awareness of God in your life. It's always going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow when I get my act together. Tomorrow when this or that changes. But the ways of the kingdom are the ways of God's heart and mind are always a present reality and bring us to the moment by moment awareness of the Holy Spirit within our lives and what God is doing in our lives. Now, can we truly have the full expression of the acts of the kingdom without his ways? Well, God demonstrated his acts, and one very clear example is when he delivered Israel from Egypt. His acts were made known to the Israelites, and the scripture says they knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. God demonstrated his power on their behalf, but they went right back into bondage. They created another Egypt in the wilderness. Here they were being divinely led and taken care of. Water out of a rock, manna from heaven. God was with them. Yet they went right back into bondage because in their thinking and in their hearts, they didn't open up to know his ways. So the acts of God, no matter how great, don't necessarily change our nature and who we are. It's the ways of the Lord that are worked in our life by the Spirit that change us. And then we can fully appreciate his acts. And we don't regress back to some prior state. We've seen this with revivals. God will demonstrate his power, his acts. And yet a movement will come up, strong, moving in the Spirit. And then years down the road, what happens? It becomes one more piece of religion of that whole Babylonian structure. It just goes back into bondage. Why? Because human nature being what it is, it's very strong. Unless we change, no matter how great the miracle, with time, we tend to regress back. So let's embrace his ways. Let's embrace what God is doing in our hearts. If the ways of our Father can be alive within us, there'll be no going back to bondage. His acts will be demonstrated and will continue to grow, and this day will continue to give glory to who God is. Kingdom of God, what is it? Well, this one expression I wrote down, I think it's just so simple. The kingdom is where God is. Wherever the king is, that's where his kingdom is manifesting. So again, it's not some future thing we're looking for, or the kingdom of God will mean this change and that change. The kingdom of God is wherever his presence is resident. And we should look no further than our own lives. We need to see it there, don't we? The issue on the kingdom level is not the same issue we find with religion. In religion, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, there are a lot of different issues that come up. One of the main ones is, I would call, indoctrination. With religion, it becomes a thing of people have got to think a certain way, be a part of us. There's a very strong group mentality, a sense of belonging, a certain way of looking at life, looking at God, interpreting the Bible. The issue on a kingdom level is the life of God, period. Something greater than doctrine, greater than teachings, and yet we'll have the greatest insight into what the true teachings are if we live in that level of his presence. But it is the life of God. And let me just go to a few scriptures, and you can read these later. One is in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 20, it says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What's it talking about here? Relationship. What's it saying? This is what eternal life is all about. This is the ministry of the kingdom. The reality of the kingdom is we experience and we manifest the life of God, that eternal life. This is what the disciples tapped into. In 1 John, first chapter, they express it this way. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And it goes on. What were the disciples all about? The early church, what were they doing? Were they saying, hey, we finally got the correct teaching. We have finally correctly interpreted all the prophets. We can define to you exactly who Jesus Christ is, what's he all about, what he's not all about. No, they said, hey, we've experienced this life. And this life is what we manifest to you. So the reality of kingdom life, or the life on that level, and the ministry that comes out of it is not going to be what we've known in the past. It's not going to be talking people into things, trying to create little boxes called churches and just sticking people in them and trying to keep them in those little boxes. It's about a life, the life of God, this eternal life just flowing like a river, transforming and changing people. It's going to be like the prophecy that came in Ezekiel out of the temple, that river, that light, the water that was flowing. It went into the sea, and what did it say? It turned the salty water to fresh water, changing everything. We experience the life, and we manifest the life. So I think that we can look at three different levels. Let me go one more verse here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. There's just so many verses, but I just want to capture a few. He says, seeing that his divine power, 2 Peter 1:3, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, In order by them that you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now this to me seems to be on a whole different track than what you often experience with religion or in church. It's more about behavior modification, isn't it? You know, here you can change this, you can change that, think this way instead of that way. What is Peter talking about? About this divine life, divine promises, that we have the potential to experience the Father within us and all that He is. That's what the kingdom of God is heralding. It's not heralding just a step up in the anointing or a step up in our insight of His teaching. Kingdom of God is heralding God is alive in your midst. All that He is to be your experience. Three different levels. We have the life of God, we have the church realm, and we have the world around us. I believe that we're in a time where I think for quite some time we've seen the difference between the world we live in and all the powers that be out there, and then the church, which is a step out of that. The church is a step towards God. And we've been trying to perfect this level of church for 2,000 years. Make it right. Make it work. And we get some gifts of the Spirit. We get some input that's good and things are happening spiritually. And yet it never seems to get us where we need to go, does it? Because you have that human nature that's involved with it. So we have divine gifts and we have human beings and we have all kinds of problems. And I think a lot of people are still focused on trying to create the perfect church. And I'm talking about the realm of religion now, because we are the church of God. And the kingdom of God is not coming down to say, okay, now I'm going to create the perfect church. It's going to be over in this location and everyone's going to stream to it. In the early 70s, I remember the pastor we had was always talking about where we were at. The nations would stream to us down in South Bay. And that, you know, that was a little extreme and we all kind of made fun of it, but that's more or less the mentality on a church age level. We're this church and yet we got all these problems. We're going to get enough of God to make this thing work. To make this box that we're in the perfect box. And the kingdom of God comes down and says there are no boxes that are relevant on this level. It's the life of God. It's a step up into a whole nother realm. That doesn't mean we're not going to come and fellowship together or go to church. It means our awareness is going to be on a different level. We're going to realize that this is all about God and that's where we live. And then I think the different systems we operate in, maybe the little boxes that we find ourselves in will be that much better, won't they? Because we're not living in those boxes. We're living in His presence. So when we do come together, we can just experience Christ together and we don't have to have all these other agendas that mess things up. I think Paul found that reality in Philippians chapter 3. He talks about his life as a Pharisee, and again, that's the church that he was a part of. He says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. As to the law, I did everything right. I mean, as far as religion went, Paul gave himself 150% to making it work. Philippians 3:8. Whatever things, 3:7, were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And what's he talking about? What was gained to him? The fact that he was a great Pharisee. The fact that on that church level, he had perfected things as far as you could take it. But when he found the life of God, he said, those things are loss. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. I think we're kind of on a cusp here. The church age is still very present, yet there's something that's shining through the kingdom of God, the light of the Spirit. And we're experiencing both. I think we're going to live more and more this verses 7 and 8 in Philippians that Paul had. The more we experience the life of God like Paul, we're going to look back and the things that were even good, we're going to say it's like rubbish. It's lost. I don't care about it. Why? Does it necessarily mean that what we're doing is bad? No. It means when you find the life of God, nothing else is really relevant, is it? And all these systems we work so hard to perfect, I can think all the energy putting into analyzing Ephesians 4. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and talks about all the gifts. And how can we put this together? We analyze the book of Acts and how the churches worked, and how can we follow their patterns? And we try to follow their patterns. Things still get messed up, right? Churches, we still miss the mark. All this work trying to make this box so perfect that we live in, we call our church. Yet when the life of God really shines through and it gets through to us like it got through to Paul, we'll look at all that and say, it doesn't matter. It's nothing compared to the glory of God that's coming forth. So the kingdom of God is a step for all of us out of our box into the unknown, into his presence, into a life that is led by his spirit and not by our own minds. That's why it's a transition. That's why it doesn't take place because someone brings a word about the kingdom and there's a white cloud that comes down over the church and all of a sudden, yes, we're in the kingdom age. It's a process from our religious side into the part of us that is spirit, that is one with him. That's where we live. I think in this generation, it's just very, to me, the awareness is becoming very acute, very sharp. We're taking that step. And don't be impatient with yourself. Don't get down on yourself. We just got to get there. I remember the group I was a part of. It was a very aggressive level of faith that we had. But everything had to be right now. Well, Jesus healed people immediately. We got to have the kingdom of God right now. Well, we're not ready for all of the kingdom right now. That's where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work his ways within us. So that we, in our experience, in our lives, can house this life of God. We're still too dependent on religion. We're still too dependent on our own natural thinking. So the Spirit works within us, letting go, helping us to let go. Why? Like Paul said, we can lay hold of the greater reality of who Jesus Christ and who the Father really are. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That becomes a reality as you start to embrace the kingdom of God. It's a different way of thinking, different way of relating. I'll have this to say about religion. I think that a lot of it is man-made, and it's a recognition of the need we have for oneness with the Father. And so a lot of it we create because we're trying to get back to that state that we know we were in at one point. Yes. But you know what? I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ came and did what we couldn't do through religion. We all try to build our Tower of Babel, try to ascend to the heavens. And just like what they experienced in Genesis, you remember what happened? God brought great confusion on them. And if you look at the state of religion today, I think you'd have to admit there's a lot of confusion. Where's the oneness? Where's the life of God? A lot of talk, a lot of theory, a lot of good teaching. But the kingdom of God does not consist of word, but of power. That's what the scripture says. It's not about teaching. It's about life. Well, I think the attempt we all have or with that longing within us for God and the religion that comes out of that trying to get back to God is all a good thing. But Jesus Christ came and gave himself and said, now you don't have to do that. I've paid the price for you. You have oneness with the Father because of what I've done for you. So now it's a matter of faith in the finished work of Christ and allowing that life to become our reality. What a wonderful thing. John chapter 15. Can you agree with me on this or recognize that we need to think differently, don't we? John 15:12 says, this is my commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What did he command them to do? Love. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. This is about how the kingdom of God works. There has been a change of relationship. We are no longer slaves. Why? Because we attained some spiritual level and God is now looking and saying, okay, you're like Abraham, I'll call you friend. No, Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves. Jesus Christ changed our relationship with the Father. It's not up to what we do, he did it. And he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you, love. Here's the transition point we are in. Under the law and under religion, we will always be slaves. Maybe you'll be a very good slave and do all the right things or think you're doing all the right things. But there's definitely a slave mentality. God is a master and we are trying to perform to make that master happy. What Jesus is saying is what the kingdom of God is you're not slaves, you are God's friends, you are my friend. And the only thing I command you to do is who God is. God is love. Love one another. And he talks about this love, laying down your life for your friends. As we focus on the love, and you say, well, what about laying down my life for my friends? How do I do that? I'll tell you what, if you're willing to be led by the Holy Spirit within you, that's how your life is going to be. That's how our life is. There's going to be that sacrifice of love. You don't have to try to look for it. I think we try to avoid it when it's happening to us. It's all too real. Your ego is constantly being challenged by God, by the Spirit. And the lesson on the other end of that ego that's being bruised and beaten up is what? It has something to do with love, doesn't it? But as we focus on this love, we become aware of the true relationship we have with the Father. We are friends. And another place in Isaiah, he says, I am your husband. It's taking it away from a relationship with distance. Slave and master is all about performance. It's all about not knowing the person on the other end, right? And bringing it into an intimate relationship of friendship, of marriage, of closeness. And it's that reality of love as we focus there that makes us aware of what Jesus Christ has created. And he says, because you're my friends, you know what the master's doing. Verse 15. In other words, he's saying, the ways of God that are higher than our thoughts of our mind, that you can't access just by trying to analyze and figure out what the Bible's saying. Because you're my friends, because the relationship is changed, you know what the master's doing. You know what your Father's doing. Another chapter, verse chapter 16, it talks about why the Holy Spirit is given. To lead us into all the truth. So you see, the ways of God become accessible. They become our experience. That's what the Holy Spirit brings about in us. Because we are no longer simply slaves trying to please a master. We are friends. We are family with God. Therefore, his ways can be our experience. That's the working of the kingdom of God. You look at the prodigal son. You know what? That whole story, it's not about the younger son's failure in running away. And this is what religion focuses on, right? One of two things. One is the younger son, sin, failure, right? Or the older son, when he gets all upset when the younger son comes back and the father's so glad to see him, he goes, what is this? Throwing a party for this guy and he's squandered everything. I've been here this whole time. You never thrown a party for me. Two sides of religion. The condemnation of human failure, younger son, the self-righteousness of that religious spirit, the older son. Well, I've performed and done all the right things. Neither one understood the love of the Father. The focus of the prodigal son is how great the Father's love was, not on the failure of the two sons. And that is the kingdom reality, as is we in our thinking, as this the relationship changes to us, and we understand we belong to God, we're family. We realize that our human failure is not the issue, and certainly we put on that self-righteous coat and think we're just doing so well. That doesn't make it either. It's not about performance. It's about his love. Do you see how inclusive this is? How it's just going to draw people in? Where the enemies made issue of the human flesh and saying one or two things. Either be phony and act self-righteous and pretend like you're doing it, or just condemn yourself because you know you're a sinner and you're blowing it. If the enemy can get us in either way, we're missing the whole point. And that's what's happened with religion. People are focused on what's wrong with them instead of on how great God is. The kingdom brings the awareness of, here is your Father. He loves you. Let's have a party, a prodigal son. Let's have a feast. God's so glad to see us. He's so glad to be with us. Simple, isn't it? But yet very true. I think we all believe in the Father's love. Maybe we still don't trust it enough. And that's the kingdom of God again, too. We can all say, well, I believed in God's love. I've read the scriptures, believed them for umpteen years now. Challenge in my life is not believing in it. The challenge I face is, do I really trust his love to lead my life? That's the kingdom of God knocking on the door of my heart saying, okay, if you believe we're family, if you believe I'm your friend, then you can trust this love to lead your life. One last thing in closing. We're going to look at John chapter 4. And this, to me, is what the kingdom ministry is all about. Jesus spending time with the woman, Samaritan woman at the well. Do you remember the story? We can read that later. Asking her for something to drink, and she's surprised, saying, I didn't think the Jews had anything to do with the Samaritans. And then he's talking to her about the water. Of course, he's telling her about the water. You're going to thirst again. You drink of this water. And I think it's on different levels, not just physical water, but it's talking about just as our experience as human beings. No matter what we take in, we're always dying of thirst. Jesus expressed to her about a water that you'll never thirst again. Then he talks to her about, exposes the fact that she's had many husbands. And then he reveals to her at the end who the true Father is, those that will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And of course, her life changes. She runs back to where she was from, expressing the touch and the life that came to her from Jesus. But this so much captures what I think is the kingdom of God and the ministry. First thing is, the ministry of the kingdom, it'll be like a city without walls. It'll be without any prejudice. She's surprised that Jesus is even talking to her. And I think so much of the thinking of religion is, we are this way. If you want what we have, you come to us, right? You belong to our system. You belong to the way we think. And in my years of being in church, I can't tell you how often when people didn't fit into the box, boy, they were ostracized. They could be very easily or made to feel very uncomfortable. And then when they'd leave, everybody would say, well, they just weren't dedicated. They just weren't really a part of us. The truth is, we have a lot of prejudices. Somehow we think that God's thinking and the way he does things is just the way we do things. And the Spirit will just bring everybody to our way. Yet here Jesus is going out of his way, doing something that was against the customs of the time. Talking with a woman he wasn't supposed to talk to. The kingdom of God is without walls and boundaries. It's not waiting for them to come to us, that type of thinking. It's the life of God is causing me to go out and be where they are. Wherever people are, wherever they are with their life, it's not the condemning voice that says, if you change and come up here and be like us, you'll be okay. It's wherever you are, that's where God wants to meet you. I'm not asking you to come anywhere with me. I'm not asking you to climb in some box that I live in. Again, the kingdom of God is, was it Zechariah the prophecy? Jerusalem will be a city without walls. Why? Because God says, I'll be a wall of fire around you and a glory in your midst. That's the expression of the kingdom. People aren't being sold something, aren't being told to join up with something, belong to something other than to belong to the Father's love. It's a ministry that goes out and meets people where they are, and there's no other agenda. You go on, he talks about the water. drinking of that water. To me, it's the rivers of living water flowing out. Beyond just the gift that you may have or your ability to preach, and so much focus is put on how we witness, being effective, using our words effectively. A lot of good things in that, but really what the kingdom is about the anointing and power behind those words. Jesus said on that last day of the feast, anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Then what happens? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the reality of the kingdom is not causing people to become dependent on a church system. Here, we have life here. Come here, and as long as you come here, you have life. No, the kingdom ministry is come and drink, and there will be that anointing that flows from his people. And people will be drinking what? Not doctrine, not teaching, drinking the life of Christ. And then what happens? Out of their innermost being flows water. In other words, they come and they drink, and then they find the well of life that's within them. So you're not bringing people into a church system. It's manifesting an awareness that if you open up and believe, God is in you. What a different world this will be. That's why I think the religious world is going to be shaken very deeply by the kingdom of God being manifest. Why? Because people aren't going to need it like they have in the past.